Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
That's a good point by the texter. This is not me kowtowing to one texter. I was thinking this during the break. I'm like, man, you know what? We'll hit this Christian Walker thing for about a minute, then we'll hit it again in headlines. Because the texter says, switching to Astros now is like being at your favorite cousin's funeral and having to congratulate your 5-year-old nephew for graduating pre-K. I'm mourning over here. Scram, Astros. Yeah. Good point. And I was feeling that during the break. I'm like, eh, I don't know. We probably got to circle. There's still a ton to unpack from this Texans game. We will do that in a minute, but we should point out, because there may be people unaware of this or just didn't dig into it. The Astros made a big signing Christian Walker to a 3-year, $60 million deal makes me more optimistic about the upcoming season.
Yeah, it doesn't make you feel better about like the current state of the outfield or anything.
One signing away, Seth.
I think we're just, Alex Bregman, we've gone to his funeral, basically. Christian Walker was like your mom marrying your new dad at your dad's funeral. That was that nightmare funeral scenario.
With Isak Paredes as the best man.
Yes. Yeah, just kind of like, I'm sorry about your dad, but I'm going to be your new daddy,
by the
way. So Christian Walker, welcome home, new daddy. Even though you're, first baseman as opposed to, you're a corner infield.
He's a good player, man. Three years, $60 million.
And they're stacking up on pull hitters.
Pull hitters.
They want to assault the Crawford boxes.
Pull hitters,
week.
And they're going to be much better defensively at first base this year.
Yeah.
He's a gold glove caliber. He's a gold glover, literally a gold glover, not gold glove caliber. So that's good. And I think it proves again, like Jim Crane willing to spend money on a 3-year deal. On a 3-year deal. Now, it hurts that they're paying $40 million for the position of first base, $20 million to Christian Walker. And $19 million to Jose Abreu to do whatever the hell he's doing this year.
I feel better about Christian Walker than if they traded for Arenado, I think. Yeah. Arenado's got a little of that Abreu in him.
He's in his mid-30s. Player.
He's been declining offensively. Still good defensively. He would have been better than... he would have been good defensively, probably, but he's not the same guy.
Nope. All right, so the Texans, man. Still a ton to unpack from this game. The frustration with Bobby Slowick is not dialing back. It is bubbling up. These screen passes to the wide receivers.
Yeah.
Are drive killers, man. What are you doing? He threw, I went back, rewatched the game, went through the game log. The Texans threw four wide receiver screens in this game. Three to Nico Collins, one to Robert Woods.
Mm-hmm.
None of them worked. They all went for negative yardage, which is, that's really hard to do. I'm sorry, even like to not have one on one of these plays, a missed tackle where you at least get 4 yards. Like that's, it's almost as hard to throw four wide receiver screens for a total of 60 yards as it is to throw four wide receiver screens for a total of negative 9 yards. Here's the worst part. The down and distance situations it leaves you in. The first one put them in second and 12, put them behind the chains.
And that was a bad throw by CJ, but also I don't know if it would have gone for anything anyway.
Yeah.
Because none of these guys can block.
None of them were blocked well.
They don't know how to block.
None of them were blocked well. First one put them in second and 12. The other three were all thrown on second down and long. And so the idea from Bobby Slowick was, this is the play that'll get us in third and manageable at the very least.
Right, just an easy 5 yards.
Easy 5 yards. Yeah.
Tunsil was lost in space. Like, Tunsil's a great pass protector. Not so much this last game, but he's atrocious as a blocker. And out in space, he might as well be Kenyon Green out in space.
Which is crazy because he's a good athlete for his position. Those three plays put them in third and 10, third and 13, third and 9.
Mm-hmm.
Let's skip to Mays, too, here, Connor. Robert Mays, who was with the Ringer. Who's he with now, Robert Mays? He's doing his own thing, maybe.
The Athletic, I think.
Yeah. That's right, The Athletic. On his podcast, he was talking about the screen game and how it's a big tell.
Yeah.
How well you execute your screen game is a tell as to how well coached you are offensively. Yeah. He made a comparison between the best screen game in the NFL and the worst screen game in the NFL.
The Bucs have positive 17.5 EPA on screens this year. Baker Mayfield does. That is the highest in the league. The Texans have negative 17.5. That is dead last in the NFL. So there is a 35-point difference between the best screen team and the worst screen team in the league. And the fact that it's the Bucs and the Texans feels so appropriate to me right now.
Well, that is basically a field goal swing a game between these two teams in just this one little... I mean, how many screens are you even calling a week? Three, four? Like, for those three, four plays to be effectively a field goal swing between these two teams. And you feel it, too. And this is how you get high-level offensive passing production out of an okay quarterback as opposed to a great quarterback feeling completely bogged down in the way that C.J. Stroud has been this year.
All right, so that second voice was Derek Klassen, who's at QB Klassen. Yeah,
so the one positive I would take from it is that they had a screen to Joe Mixon that was set up by faking a screen, the wide receiver screen.
By the Chiefs getting thirsty over all the bad screens.
So at least there's some semblance of a plan there. Like, all right, this is how we're going to offset the tendencies and everything else like that. There was one play, there was a high school coach that said, Seth, that one screen was an RPO. So I went back and watched it. And I usually, on the RPO stuff, I defer to the high school coaches initially because they know the RPO game a lot better.
Yeah.
But I watched that. Like, no, that was it was window dressing. It wasn't supposed to be an RPO. It was him throwing out to Nico. The offensive line was not blocking up like it was going to be an RPO. And it's really, really bad. They're just all very poorly executed. Even if it was an RPO, guess what? Don't run that damn RPO. Yeah. If like part of your RPO is a play that you're horrible at running because your guys can't block.
Right.
Well, this isn't related to the screens. It partially is, but it's tied to the run game and everything else. Dalton Schultz, man, he's an atrocity. I just like, you can't run this system with Dalton Schultz as your tight end. You can't run this system the way they're trying to run it without a tight end who can't block. Your zone runs are just dead in the water because he's getting destroyed so routinely. So, and then the screens, defenses know when they're coming. Defenses know you're going to, hey, we're off. Okay, we got that motion in the backfield. I'm coming up and I'm going to make the play. Like, it's predictable. So it's so poorly executed. All of these things where D'Amico and Bobby Slowick will talk about, hey, we're good when we execute. Right. You guys are not executing on 50% of your plays, and that comes back to coaching. Yes, it's the players on the field, but it's also the fact that guys are completely lost. It's a disjointed mess.
Yeah, that
the execution is on the offensive coordinator.
Yes.
When nobody's executing anywhere, that's on the offensive coordinator.
Well, here's what's also on the offensive coordinator. Calling plays that work and staying away from plays that clearly your team can't run. Like, I posted all those, the down and distance numbers and whatnot. I posted that in a tweet on Sunday. Saturday night. When I got home, I rewatched the game. Saturday night. I posted on Saturday night. And some of the replies from people were like, well, Nico should have done this on the play. Or, well, they should have done this. And I like, no, I get it. Like, when you call a play one time and it's not executed well, that's on the players.
Yeah.
When you call it four times in the first half of a game, that becomes on the offensive court. It's clearly something your team is having trouble executing. Stop calling that play. When you get pulled over for drunk driving, that's on you, the drunk driver. If one of your parents or somebody then continues to put you behind the wheel drunk, that's on whoever keeps putting you behind the wheel drunk. You know what I mean? Like, it's the first one I'll allow. Okay, the offensive coordinator called a play, guys couldn't execute it. To go back and keep banging on the button three times after that. Put your quarterback continually in these third and long situations. On the road in Kansas City. Jeez.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The part of it, especially, it's almost like the thinking is we're going to surprise him with something that, hey, Spagnuolo's a bad defensive or a really good defensive coordinator. He knows we're awful at the screens. His guys probably won't be worried about the screen because Spagnuolo's going to tell him not to worry about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no idea. It's we're going to ambush him with the weakest thing that we do.
Yeah.
This offense is going to drive me insane. The way that they're wired as football players and the way they're operating, it's just so much night and day different than the way the defense operates.
It's crazy to me.
I mean, it's crazy
they exist in the same building.
And it's gotten to the point now, too, where, look, Mixon's not always making the right reads and run plays, but it's that snowball effect of, right, but because he's not really usually seeing the right picture anyway in front of him, so is he pressing too hard? CJ needs to be held accountable for his multiple bad decisions in that game. But you get into that old conundrum of, okay, we know CJ's better than this, the way he's been playing since week 7. We know he should be better than that. You're not going to go out and try a new quarterback next year.
No.
But he's not. CJ's regressing under this current coaching staff.
Yep. Yep. So there's going to be, man, if this holds up, there's going to be some decisions to be made over there.
It shouldn't be a decision. That's the frustrating thing is it shouldn't be a decision. They got to get a new offensive coordinator next year.
Yep.
But we all know, none of us are expecting it. I don't know. I'm not expecting them to make a change, which is frustrating to me because he's clearly not the answer.
Well, the problem is the execution, I keep getting told. It's the players. It's the players not executing. That's what I keep hearing.
They're pretty high. You just paid Dalton Schultz a new contract.
You just paid Bobby Slowick.
Yeah.
they gave Bobby Slowick a raise, reportedly. What do they do at wide receiver now? This is a situation they were in last year, so this is not a foreign situation. Tank going out for the season, unfortunately, is a 2-year annual tradition.
I will be surprised if the Texans didn't put a claim in on Deontay Johnson, who was let go by the Ravens after being suspended, basically because he chose not to play.
He pulled it to Devondre Campbell.
Yeah. I think you're down at this time of the year. Nick's big on getting guys in the building and to see what happens, you know, when they get in the building. put a claim in on Deontay Johnson. I'm guessing somebody else will snap him up. The waiver wires today, so we'll find out. But you think about the Chiefs 2 years ago. They signed a head case, Kadarius Toney, at the end of the year. And
helped him win a Super Bowl.
For a short stretch of time, a head case can be on his best behavior. Now, Kadarius Toney went full Kadarius Toney the next year. But that doesn't concern us. It's what can you do over the next few weeks. I would just love to get Deontay Johnson in the building.
We'll find out. It leaks out. I mean, I don't know if the NFL reports it or if the insiders of the NFL report it. But typically when somebody gets claimed,
yeah,
it'll leak out there like these are the other teams that put claims in on him that didn't get him.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
The talk is that, now keep in mind, this is the Ravens that are cutting him loose. This is a team that is in the middle of a playoff. It's the Texans' opponent this week. At the very least, get him in the building and see if he was listening in class at all while he was there. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm guessing there's the low probability of, and he definitely wasn't there the last few weeks.
I am too. I'm guessing, Deontay Johnson doesn't strike me as a pay attention and sit in the front row guy at all.
I stayed up at the office and sat in on coaches' meetings until 11 p.m.
Not that guy.
Night.
Not that guy. But you're right. Like, you're desperate times call for desperate measures. I would put a claim in on Deontay Johnson. I don't know, man, some of the dudes that are on the street right now.
Like, Odell Beckham Jr.?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I just said, I literally said a week ago when they put out odds on Odell Beckham Jr.'s new team after the Dolphins cut him before the Texans game. I'm like, why are they even putting this out? Like, why there will not be a new team for Odell Beckham Jr. And yet, I'm like, okay, is he better than Jared Wayne?
Playoff experience, that's big moment in the Super Bowl. Yeah.
I'm looking at the names like Hunter Renfro's out there.
Okay. Ooh.
Yeah, yeah.
Poor Hunter. There was a brief moment in time.
He got paid.
There.
He ain't that poor.
He got paid and then disappeared completely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Hunter Renfro's out there. Odell Beckham Jr. Neither of those guys known for their clean, crisp, the precision route running. Now I know people are going to say, I've watched the highlights of Hunter. I'm talking like clean, precise, non-freelancing type stuff. So I think that what's the harm? Like, what are you, let's call up another practice squad guy that'll run the wrong route and land on one of your best receiver's legs. Yeah.
I do wonder, and I did not do this research because I just didn't have the time and it would bore me to tears, but this is what Nick Caserio and his staff are paid to do. I do wonder if out there on somebody's practice squad, there's a guy that they like or they scouted that they liked and they can pick. Now you pick him up, he's on the 53.
Yeah, you can sign anybody off anybody's practice squad.
Yeah, yeah. And they've got to agree to come here and you got to put him on the 53-man roster, but I wonder, they got to do something. Like, you cannot go into this stretch of the season with Jared Wayne as your fifth wide receiver. You just can't. And John Mechie's banged up.
Yeah.
He was limited. He was listed as limited yesterday. They didn't practice, but they had an injury report. We'll get into that in headlines. The injury report, I think, took a turn, other than the Tank Dell part, I think took a slight turn for the better for this game with a couple of names. So we'll get into that in the in headlines. Rockets win yesterday. We'll get into that. We'll dig a little more into the Christian Walker signing with the Astros. College football playoff this weekend. Busy weekend, man. We'll get into it in headlines coming up next.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer. Selected varieties and sizes. Buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value, plus CRV. Limit three free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit two packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit four items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.